Okay, we have more breaking news. All right, let me read just a couple of tweets because we got to get to the breaking news. Tim Joyce says the conception of American justice equals the best justice money can buy these days. Well, we got a story about the justices that just broke, so partly goes to that point. Combabus writes in, I guess it's part of that campaign's game show mindset, referring to Manafort. I'd like to use one of my lifelines to call a friend in Russia. and finally, Kara Curley writes in, assuming Trump knows anything past his own name is a hell of a thing to prove. Well, that is true, but when he speaks, his words matter, and they are public. Okay, more breaking news.
Yes. The Supreme Court has ruled that Trump's travel ban can be enforced while lower courts decide its fate. Now, this is a travel ban that affects mostly Muslim countries, including Chad, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. It is not the final ruling by the Supreme Court. This is a case that is being challenged in lower federal courts, and then eventually the Supreme Court will rule on the legality of the travel ban. But there were only two Supreme Court justices who dissented with this decision. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor are the two justices who did not agree with the ruling. Now again, this is not the final ruling when it comes to the legality of the travel ban. It just indicates that the travel ban can be enforced while the lower courts decide its legality.
So let me tell you a little bit more about this. First of all, there was two liberal justices who also voted with the conservatives, Stephen Breyer and Elena Kagan. So why did they do so? Well, number one, they have a number of exceptions in this new version of the law. There's like the 18th version. Yes, that's hyperbole. First, people with a claim of a bona fide relationship to someone inside the United States cannot be kept out of the country. So grandparents, cousins, other relatives could not be excluded. Number two, refugees are unaffected by this. You still have to go through a process with a refugee. Is their life in danger? Is there a reason why they've come here? If it turns out, for example, that they're gay and they execute people who are gay in their country, right? Or they're Christian and they execute Christians in their country. We gotta find out, we gotta go through a process. You can't just send them back right away or not allow them into the country. So it excludes refugees for that point. It also includes travelers from North Korea and some government officials from Venezuela. And part of the new reasoning that they put in their 18th attempt, I think it was in reality about their third attempt, was that they realized, oh right, we should do two things. One, we should pretend it's not a Muslim ban. So we'll include tiny little bit of things that are not Muslim, like the North Koreans and the Venezuelans. Secondly, we'll have to come up with an official reason. Yeah, that's it. Now, we know why he's actually doing it. Trump has said it over and over again. He said during the campaign, we need a total and complete shutdown of Muslims, right? But now their official reason is, no, these governments are not cooperating with the United States in the way that we want them to. Which would be a real reason, a legitimate reason to not allow people from that country in. Well, if you're not cooperating with our law enforcement, well, then I don't know if your papers are trustworthy, etc., right? But if they had started with that and it was a hodgepodge list of countries not cooperating with us, that would be perfectly fine. But we know what they started with, we know what their intent is, and that's why a lot of the lower courts have said, who are you kidding? I mean, you just sent out tweets against Muslims just the other day. This is clearly a Muslim ban. If it was a legitimate travel ban, we would rule in the other direction. So for the moment being, the Supreme Court is giving the administration, in essence, the benefit of the doubt. Because they will rule on it later, but for now they're saying, yes, the federal government can enforce this while we look through the case and decide the case later. Because there's enough grounds to make you believe that maybe it's not really a Muslim ban, but it's a travel ban based on legitimate reasons.
Right, and I just wanna like briefly note that one of the reasons why lower courts struck down portions of Trump's travel ban was because of Trump's comments during the campaign and things that he's tweeted. So his tweets have gotten him in trouble in regard to trying to enforce this type of ban. But also, look, this is what people forget, and it drives me absolutely crazy. The Muslim ban, which he did call a Muslim ban previously, was supposed to take place in a 6-month period so he can figure what the hell is going on. Mm-hmm. So he has been president for over a year now, and I'm curious what kind of investigating he's doing to figure out what the hell is going on. Because it doesn't seem like there's really any type of time frame or timeline when it comes to this. It's just him, you know, pandering to his base, throwing some red meat to them, doing exactly what they love, which is, you know, talking about stronger borders, making sure people don't come in. And by the way, like North Korea, do we have like this weird influx of North Koreans trying to come into the United States?
Oh, they're beating down our door. Well, they would be if we let them, you know, or if North Korea let them. And if that was the case, and they're actually running, like, remember the guy who got shot five times trying to come in?
Yeah.
We would let them in.
Would we though?
Well,
under Trump, would we?
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, those people are living in basically one giant concentration camp. I hope to God we would let a North Korean defector in, but with Trump, you never know.
Right.
So in this case, though, they're referring to officials, and Trump has been in office close to a year, of course. But Anna, that's a point that I hadn't heard before, and it's a great point. Mm-hmm. You've had close to a year to figure out what the hell is going on. If you haven't figured it out by now, how long do you need before you literally find out, quote, what the hell is going on?
Well, that would actually take a little bit of work and investigating. And it's a lot easier to sign executive orders that don't require any critical thinking and tweet in the early hours of the day and watch cable news. Those are the real duties of President Trump.
And his incompetence is what led to the several different versions of this. And in the last version, they borrowed some of the language that the Supreme Court had used in an earlier case, so that it would be harder for the Supreme Court to turn them down. Finally, someone inside the White House was thinking. They found a real lawyer. Mm-hmm. They're like, wait, I got an idea. There's this thing in law called precedent. And especially if it's this Supreme Court that said it, maybe we should put it into this ban. And they're like, whoa, that guy's a lawyer. Right? So part of the reason for this ruling coming out today, and if you're wondering why the courts care about his tweets, because they're saying part of their job is to interpret the real intent of the ban. And if your intent is because you're worried that they're not cooperating with us, fine, acceptable, legal. But if your intent is that you want to do religious discrimination, which is unconstitutional, according to the United States Constitution, then it is not permissible. So when Donald Trump keeps going out and attacking Muslims, and earlier had said, this is a Muslim ban, this is a Muslim ban, well, that's relevant to his intent, and that's why the court would look at it. I hope when the Supreme Court looks at it, they take that into full consideration as well.
Right. All right. Going back to Donald Trump's administration and some hypocrisy regarding the FBI investigation or the FBI. Recently, people on social media, Twitter to be specific, were sharing a tweet that Sarah Huckabee Sanders had tweeted over a year ago, on November 3rd of 2016. And it had to do with Hillary Clinton and the fact that James Comey was investigating Hillary Clinton for her use of a private email server. Now, there was some criticism by Hillary's camp toward the FBI as a result of that investigation. And so here's what Sarah Sanders had tweeted at the time. When you're attacking FBI agents because you're under criminal investigation, you're losing.
Thank you.
Now that
preach it.
That tweet didn't age like a fine wine, okay? Because you fast forward to recent news and recent tweets by Donald Trump himself, and there's a little bit of a different tune. Here's what Donald Trump recently tweeted. After years of Comey with the phony and dishonest Clinton investigation and more running the FBI, its reputation is in tatters, worst in history. But fear not, we will bring it back to greatness. So he's attacking the FBI while he is under investigation.
I guess that means he's losing. I thought we were going to get tired of winning by now. It turns out we're starting to get tired of losing.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Trump's tweet. Put that back up if you don't mind, Jesus, because I want to point out a couple of things. One is, as usual, the unnecessary exclamation point. Kind of like the tweet where they claim was written by a lawyer where he admitted obstruction of justice. That's very similar. Secondly, I'd like to point out something else. Why does he randomly capitalize things?
Yes, I've noticed that too. I don't like tatters.
So history has no business being capitalized there. You really can't make an argument for it, but fine, I'm past that. Tatters, why is tatters capitalized? He's a child. He doesn't even know grammar. He doesn't know anything. He's so monumentally stupid. Just a side note.
Right. I think that the lack of sleep and the poor diet is starting to really impact him. Impacts him negatively. He needs to get some rest. He needs to stop watching cable news, and he needs to get away from social media.
Look, glass house on poor diets. I can't comment on that one. Back to you, Anna.
You get sleep though, right?
From time to time.
Okay, thanks God. Yeah. So anyway, just a cute little hypocrisy story to share with you guys. All right, moving on to other news. Donald Trump's political advisors and members of his administration have not been forthcoming when it comes to their conflicts of interest and certain ties that they have with Russian diplomats or communications that they've had with Russian figures. And recently there was the discovery of Jared Kushner failing to disclose the fact that he led a foundation that was funding illegal Israeli settlements. Now, this is relevant considering the fact that he is the individual in Trump's administration who has been given a pretty hefty job of providing peace in the Middle East. But this new information indicates that there's a giant conflict of interest that he should have disclosed but failed to do so. So let's go to that and give you some more details. According to a report, Jared Kushner failed to disclose his role as a co-director of the Charles and Cheryl Kushner Foundation from 2006 to 2015 on financial records he filed with the Office of Government Ethics earlier this year. Now, keep in mind that during the transition, he attempted to sway a United Nations Security Council vote against an anti-settlement resolution passed just before Donald Trump took office, which condemned the structure of West Bank settlements. So he wanted to delay that vote. And you can understand why when you look into the money that this organization that he was part of, and what they donated that money to. So the foundation donated at least $38,000 between 2011 and 2013 to a fundraising group building a Jewish seminary in a West Bank settlement. Okay, so keep that in mind. Also during that period, Kushner's foundation also donated an additional $20,000 to Jewish and educational institutions in settlements throughout the region. So these are settlements that were built on in an illegal fashion, according to the UN. And he didn't disclose this information. And then he proceeded to urge a delay in that United Nations Security Council vote in regard to illegal settlements. So again, massive conflict of interest. He was not forthcoming. And this is super relevant when you consider the fact that it now, in my opinion, answers the question as to whether or not he accidentally forgets to disclose things or if he's purposely trying to conceal things.
So I think the settlements are deeply immoral. I think that it's a fact that the United Nations has said that they are illegal under international law. They've been around for decades. The far right wing government of Israel basically has said, no, we're going to keep the occupation and not given any end date whatsoever. In other words, we will permanently occupy these people. And I can go further in the adjectives related to that. But here is Jared Kushner saying, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm giving donations to these illegal settlements. And look, I don't begrudge the seminaries or the schools or et cetera. I wish you would give them to schools or seminaries inside Israel instead of in the settlements. I wish that Israel would have a moderate government that would end the occupation. They had one, Yitzhak Rabin, which was going to do a peace deal. He was on the precipice of it, the two-state solution that almost the entire world agrees upon. And then a right-wing terrorist assassinated him and then got his wish. He ruined the peace talks. And Netanyahu, who had been urging people against Rabin at the time, then wound up winning the elections later. And now, as the head of the right-wing government, says no, there is no two-state solution. Israel hasn't moved an inch. They continue to occupy Palestine illegally and immorally. And so now we have Jared Kushner in an incredibly important position. Why? Because he's the son-in-law of Donald Trump. Has no expertise He's apparently got a conflict of interest. And this is the guy who's supposed to broker a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians when he's funneling money to illegal settlements.
Well, look, Cenk, what you fail to realize is that these illegal settlements actually lead to more peace in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Palestinians love it. Look, this is crazy. And it's just another example of why these conflicts of interest are something Americans should be concerned about, because it indicates that if, you know, they're not, you know, passing policy or pushing for things that are going to benefit humans. They're doing things based on their business interests or their political agenda or political motivations. In this case, Jared Kushner was supposed to create some sort of peaceful solution between the Palestinians and Israelis, and that's unlikely to happen when he was the co-director of an organization that was funding some of these illegal settlements or illegal businesses in the West Bank.
So what unites the right wing of Israel and the US, and unfortunately many of the other countries, it's that they believe that conflict is the answer. And so they say, well, we can't disarm because the other side is, oh, they're monsters and they're irredeemable and they will destroy us the minute we have a peace deal. But let's look at history for a second. And Menachem Begin was nobody's liberal, but at the end of the day, he did do a peace deal, which he should get enormous credit for and has throughout history. And so is Anwar Sadat, who was later on the Egyptian side assassinated for doing that peace deal. The peacemakers get assassinated, they get a bullet for their trouble. Okay, but what did that result in? The guy who never gets any credit for that is the one who orchestrated it, that's Jimmy Carter. He's the only president who has ever brought peace to the Middle East. But what happened during that deal between the Egyptians and the Israelis? What the right wing always tells us, oh, that's a fool's errand, never do peace. No, keep endless conflict. So according to their logic, it shouldn't have worked, and Egypt and Israel should be at each other's throats for the last 40 years, 50 years. Well, that's not true. It did work. It turns out peace does bring you peace, and war brings you more war. Egypt and Israel have not fought for all that time. The peace deal held. Egypt was the largest enemy of Israel. Now we have forgotten it because they've been allies for so long because of Carter's peace deal. That you think like, no, really? Yes, Egypt was the number one enemy of Israel. But we did a peace deal and it worked. But instead, Netanyahu, Kushner, and all the right wing say, no, never give peace a chance because war creates profits. I mean, it somehow magically will lead to peace at an undetermined later time. They don't want the peace. They were going to continue the settlements ad nauseum because they think war and conflict leads to people being scared and voting for right-wing politicians. That's their real agenda.
All right, do we have time for one more before we go to break?
No, we gotta take the break.
All right.
When we come back, we've got a lot more stories for you guys, including the good folks in Alabama. What did I tell you? I made a lot of fun of Alabama Republicans. And as usual, I was right. Their monstrous stupidity when we return. All right, guys. By the way, I am. We're back on the Young Turks, obviously, Cenk and Anna. I'm going to do Jimmy Dore's show tonight. Okay, that's at 8 o'clock. I just tweeted about it at Cenk Uygur. Go check that out. And if you're in LA or in Burbank, where we're doing the show, come and check it out because it'll be a lot of fun. All right, let me read a couple of tweets for you. Holdcraft says, "WTF? Saudi Arabia isn't in the dopey travel ban. Wonder why? Hehe. Oil? Question mark." So yes, part of the reason that Saudi Arabia is not in the ban, so they could say we didn't ban every Muslim country, and partly because Trump has a lot of business dealings with Saudi
Arabia. That's right.
And partly because defense contractors and oil companies make a lot of money from Saudi Arabia. So if there's money to be made, there ain't gonna be a part of no travel ban. By the way, we never got to talk about at least I didn't on air, about what the Saudi government is doing to some of the richest Saudis and the other princes. Maybe we'll talk about it in the postgame today. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They're apparently hanging them by their feet for some of them. Okay.
Okay.
So some of them are billionaires. That's going to have consequences.
Why? Okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about it in the postgame today. It's really interesting. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member and get all the postgames. Last two tweets for you. AA Lipschitz writes in, anyone else sick of the bad guys winning all the time? Yeah. Right here. Okay. Just as Democrats are trying to change it, so hang with us. The Mad Lib says banning North Koreans because of Kim Jong UN is like banning hostages who run away from their terrorist captors. That's pretty much true. To be fair, I would be surprised if that ban wasn't for North Korean government officials. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that even Trump, like, I shouldn't say, okay, but pretty sure we take defectors in the West overall. Let's put it that way. Okay, what's next?
All right, update on the Roy Moore story. Lots of interesting tidbits to share with you guys. Donald Trump is now being even more explicit in his support for Roy Moore. In fact, recently he tweeted about how Republicans 100% need to back Roy Moore, especially those in Alabama. He says the Democrats' refusal to give even one vote for massive tax cuts is why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama. By the way, we all know that those tax cuts are for the wealthy and not for the middle class. We need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall, military, pro-life, VA judges, Second Amendment, and more. No to Jones, a Pelosi Schumer puppet. Now, also keep in mind that Roy Moore's wife shared on Twitter that Trump had called them and said that Roy Moore has his full support. And when you look at the polling in Alabama, it makes it very clear that Republican voters in the state do seem to continue to back him, regardless of how many women have come forward and accused him of sexual misconduct, some of whom were in their teens when this misconduct happened. So I'm going to give you those poll numbers in just a second, but Cenk, jump in.
All right, first, I want to go back to the tweet as usual with Donald Trump, and let's put that back up, because there's two interesting things in there. One, remember when the Republicans were pretending this was tax reform?
Right.
That they were going to take away so many loopholes that it wasn't going to be tax cuts. It was just going to be tax reform. Don't worry, we're not giving tax cuts to the rich. Oops. There is Donald Trump saying massive tax cuts. So no more talk of tax reform, because it's not going to balance the budget. It's going to blow a huge hole in the budget,
right?
And they don't care. Now they're just calling it massive tax cuts.
Well, they might argue that there is a component of reform because of the fact that there are certain deductions that they are attacking. So one of the deductions that they want to get rid of, and we'll see if this is something that both the House and the Senate will agree on, but it's the deduction that you can state regarding the interest that you pay on your student loans. Right now, you can deduct that. However, if the GOP gets its way, they will do away with that deduction. Tax reform.
See, so they do raise taxes on the middle class and the poor. So I guess it's reform in a sense. But by the way, you also cannot deduct if you're a teacher and you bought school supplies. Sorry, you can't deduct that, even though you spent your own money to help your students. But if you have a private jet, you can deduct that.
It's unbelievable.
Okay. One last thing about the tweet. Let's bring it up one more time. Why does this child randomly capitalize things? Why are tax cuts capitalized? Okay. Why is illegal immigration not capitalized, but border wall is capitalized?
And military, I guess you can
say. Maybe. Why pro-life is capitalized?
Also, that sentence, I love how that sentence reads. We need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall. Stopping the border wall?
Exactly.
Like, it's just, I don't understand what he's trying to communicate. Well, I know what he's trying to communicate because we're aware of what his policy ideas are, but he just is not a great communicator. Now let's go to some polling, because I find this so incredibly fascinating. So CBS and YouGov did a poll where they spoke to Republican voters in Alabama. We're talking about eligible voters, voting age individuals in the state, and what they think about this whole situation. And what they realized, or what they found, was that 71% of Alabama Republicans say that the allegations against Roy Moore are false. Okay?
So let's just pause there for a second. So if one of the claims that they have made against people who are against Roy Moore are, you're assuming the allegations are true, and that's not fair to Roy Moore because this hasn't been adjudicated. Mm-hmm. They might be true, they might be false, but it never got adjudicated in a court, and it's just charges from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute, 71% of you are assuming it's false, which is a significantly stranger thing to assume. So if you say, hey, you can't know for sure, that's a fair statement, right? I would say there's a lot of evidence publicly that they are true, but no, it's never been proven in a court of law. But to assume that they are false, when you have all this credible evidence from all of these women, including signed yearbooks from the 16-year-old, including other witnesses at the time for the 14-year-old, the 16-year-old, etc., including Roy Moore's own admission that he liked to date pretty young girls as young as 16, according to his own admission.
Yes.
Right? For you to, that's his own admission, for you to assume that those are false betrays the fact that you don't care about what's true. You just want to wish away the real facts in the situation.
Right. Look, it is the rejection of anything, any information, any data, any evidence, whatever it is, that goes against what they already believe. And so I think right now we're having this issue where people in general, and I'm not blaming this squarely on Republicans, but people in general don't want to be convinced otherwise of anything. And if you give them evidence, if you give them information, they just flat out reject it or pretend like it's just made up, false fabrications, whatever it is. So according to the same CBS YouGov poll, 92% of Republicans who don't believe the allegations against Moore say the Democrats are behind the charges, and 88% say that newspapers and media are behind them. So they're rationalizing things, right? I still want to support Roy Moore. These allegations are problematic, so let me just go ahead and tell myself that they're fabrications. It's an agenda by the liberals and the media. Anything to discredit the allegations that are brought against him. If these allegations were against a Democratic candidate, if it was against Jones, you think that they would treat it in a similar fashion? Hell no. Now, Moore does have a lead, according to this poll, over Doug Jones, 49% to 43%, which is insane. And I wanted to look at other polling to see what the results were. Washington Post did a similar poll a couple days prior, and they found that Doug Jones is ahead of Roy Moore by about 3 percentage points, 50% to 47%, but that's within the margin of error, so that's important to keep in mind. This is pretty devastating.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I bet a while back that Roy Moore would win anyway, partly because it'll excite his own fan base to show up to fight against the false charges, right? Because they'll get themselves to believe anything. The part that I disagree with you a little bit is in the present moment. So you're right overall, Anna, to say it's not a believing what you want to believe is not necessarily a Republican trait. We've seen the studies where they show both conservatives and liberals sometimes will ignore facts that are inconvenient to their ideology. On the other hand, the part I disagree about is in today's context, the Republicans do it far more often because the facts are not on their side. So it's inconvenient. So for example, 97% of the world's scientists say that climate change is real and caused by and is man-made. And so liberals don't have to pretend that the facts are on their side, because their facts are on their side. Conservatives have to pretend that that is a Chinese hoax, or that 97% of the world's scientists all over Norway, Botswana, America, Australia, they all got together, where I don't know, okay, and decided, let's all lie, all in unison, all at once, let's do this giant thing, because it'll be funny. I don't know why. So since conservatives are so wrong on so many issues in today's political context in America at this point in history, they lie and get themselves to believe in things that are not true far more often. So in this case of Roy Moore, really, 88% of the people think that of the ones that think that these allegations are false, you think the media just made it up? Like they just got together in a room and they said, should we say she was 14? Or should we say she was 13 or 15 or 7 or 70? What should we make up? Bob, what do you think we should make up? Oh, 14, let's go with 14. The 16-year-old who he attempted to rape in the parking lot. Should we say he ripped her shirt or her pants? Let's make it up. Let's make it up. If you believe that, you're wrong and incredibly unintelligent. So that's just a fact. And so that's a sad day for you. If you want to cry about it and be a snowflake, go ahead, cry in your ignorant little corner. So you can say that the media is biased, that's a fair assessment. And if you say they're even biased against conservatives, I hear you, brother. That's not the argument. Yeah. Do they just make stuff up? Like, and if they make stuff up, why did they suspend Brian Ross for making a mistake? Why didn't they just like say, bravo, Brian Ross, way to make up that stuff on Flynn, just like we agreed.
And it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to the same sources that they write off as fake news or politically motivated, if those sources report something that reinforces their preconceived notions, they will latch onto that for dear life. Case in point, another story that broke over the weekend regarding how Robert Mueller's team fired an individual who was apparently anti-Trump, and they were worried that that would somehow negatively influence the outcome of the investigation, right? Or unfairly influence the outcome of the investigation. The same mainstream news organizations that reported that story, the same ones that are written off as fake news by Donald Trump and his, you know, supporters, all of a sudden those same people are like, oh, could you believe this? Can you believe this? Totally credible, because it again reinforces our preconceived notions.
Well, so the ABC News, oh, fake news, Brian Ross said Mike Flynn was asked by Trump during the campaign to talk to the Russians. Oh, ABC News, I never trust them. ABC News corrects it. They go, see, ABC News is right to correct it. The correct version is the second version. What happened? I thought you didn't believe ABC News. Why would you believe the correction?
I mean, it's crazy. And look, it's also very scary, regardless of where you fall on the ideological spectrum, because if you have government delegitimize media to the point where people don't believe journalists, they don't believe these reports, then we have no hope. We have no hope if people don't believe good reporting. And I hear, look, we criticize media all the time for a lack of investigative reporting, certain biases and all that stuff. But to convince people that the news is just fully fabricated, we're stepping into dangerous territory. And I'm concerned about that. And I don't think people realize how much damage this is going to lead to.
And that is why Republicans in today's America are way more guilty of this in practice than the Democrats are. It's because the facts are inconvenient to them. So they need to replace the facts with their propaganda. So the Fox News of the world, the Donald Trumps of the world say, hey, don't worry about the facts. They're not facts, they're fake news. Instead, believe my propaganda, what I'm telling you right now. And unfortunately, in a case like the Roy Moore in Alabama, 71% of Alabama Republicans go, oh, that's right. Okay. I don't care that Mitch McConnell, I don't care that all the Republican leaders said that the women are credible. I don't care all the details they gave about the case. I don't care that at the time, that many years ago, they had reported what Roy Moore had done to their friends and their family members. I don't care about anything because I don't care about the facts. We do not agree to a debate on facts. You want facts, I want mythology and propaganda. So how are you going to even talk to these people? They won't believe, if you told them 2 + 2 = 4, they'd say, that's like your opinion, man. I'm going to vote for 5.
Well, they have that alternative fact. Finally, I want to leave you on one more outcome of that CBS YouGov poll that I thought was illuminating. They found that a majority of Alabama Republican voters, 53%, do say that these allegations are a concern, but that other things matter more. 1/3 of Republicans say that the allegations are not a concern to them at all. And so they care way more about the conservative agenda and passing laws and legislation that fit the conservative agenda. To them, that's more important than allegations involving sexual misconduct against teenage victims.
So look, if Democrats were the same as Republicans, Democratic voters, they would have said, and Anthony Weiner was a strong progressive fighter, they would have said, I don't care that Anthony Weiner's texting or tweeting at girls or underage girls or whatever, who cares? Other things are more important. I'm supporting Anthony Weiner no matter what. But they didn't say that. They universally showered him with scorn and drove him out of town. Because they actually have principles, they actually have morality. Whereas the Republican voters in Alabama are declaring that they don't care about morality. So 53% saying that I care about my ideology more than I care about morality. The 1/3 saying I don't care about morality at all. The allegations are that he sexually molested a 14-year-old. 1/3 say the allegations are not a concern to them.
Yeah.
So, and the other allegation among many is that he tried to rape a 16-year-old. He ripped her clothes off, tried to force her head down into his crotch, and then threw her out of the car when she screamed, okay? But 1/3 of Alabama Republicans say, I don't care if he tries to rape 16-year-olds. I don't care. That's an amazing fact. Not that I care more about my tax cuts, not that I care more about other things than child rape, which is a curious thing to say, but to say I don't even care that he molested and tried to rape young girls. Okay, at least we know where you stand. So don't give me this crap about the family values or that Republicans care about morality. In the case of Alabama voters, it is now clear based on the polling that they are not moral human beings. They have declared, 1/3 of them have clearly declared they have no interest in morality. And another 53% have said, I care more about my political wins than I care about morality. Crystal clear.
All right, we got to take one more break. Let's do that. And when we come back, a town hall involving Senator Heller and someone who challenged Heller didn't sit well. Person got escorted by security. We'll give you the details of that and more.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Our own Bart Kyle writes in, I think school teachers can still get the tax deduction, but only if they buy school supplies on a private jet. Good one, Bart. I liked it. Okay, you get a free t-shirt. Matt Brownfield writes, where it's better to be a pedophile than a Democrat.
Yeah.
Indeed, and literally in Alabama, apparently, according to the polling. Angels Advocate says, do those same 71% also believe Obama was not born here? Very likely. Kelly Barr says, thanks for always having an amazing show. Member for life, let's educate the world. Thank you, Kelly. We really, really appreciate you saying that. And look, you get something a little different in independent media. I mean, you're going to turn on cable news and they're going to tell you the deep, monstrous ignorance of Alabama Republican voters? They're not going to say that. They're going to be way too careful. But then when you don't talk about how deeply ignorant they are, you're actually doing a disservice to the truth. They actively reject facts. So we're here for you guys doing what we do. So if you think that's important, please support us, tytnetwork.com/join. And Kelly, thank you for doing that. And in fact, let me give two more member shout outs here, Stephen Brooks and Cheryl Merritt. So today in the post game, among the different things that we do for members, you get the whole show ad free, but we also do a post game and we'll talk about how the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has arrested many of the other princes, including a couple of billionaires, mm-hmm. and the torture that is apparently happening to them, which is amazing. And in Saudi style, they're doing it at the Ritz-Carlton, I believe.
That's torture?
Yeah, no. Yeah, it is.
They're torturing them
at the Ritz-Carlton.
Okay.
That's so Saudi style.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, what's next, Anna?
All right. GOP Senator Dean Heller from Nevada recently had a town hall. And during that town hall, he was asked a question from an individual who has stage 4 cancer. Her name is Laura Packard, and she's very much concerned with the fact that senators are still trying to go after the Affordable Care Act in their tax bill. Now, if you can recall, the tax bill includes a portion that indicates that they would do away with the mandate, and that would dismantle the Affordable Care Act. It would make premiums so expensive that people wouldn't be able to afford them. So Laura Packard is concerned about that because the Affordable Care Act is keeping her alive. And so she had tweeted that Dean Heller's goons threatened me before the event even started. Seriously, what? Then he read my question from the stage, so I stood up to add to it. This is what happened next. So take a quick look at how she was treated.
And millions of Americans, why are you voting for me to lose my health care? Without it, I will die.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. We did eliminate the tax provision within Obamacare, and that was the individual mandate. We got rid of the individual mandate. 90,000 people in the state of Nevada have to pay a tax because they can't afford Obamacare.
So security escorted her out. I mean, she wasn't posing any type of threat. She didn't even get rowdy. She just added to the question and also obviously added a comment to it that apparently didn't sit well with him or the security, so they escorted her out.
When I read the headline, I thought she's going to be disruptive, and I always kind of have mixed feelings about that. I think that you should make your case, but then let the other side speak. And I've said that a million times on the show. So I expected the video to show that she was causing a disruption, right? And I thought, well, if you got stage 4 cancer, and I know that because I already have your question in my hand, I'm not sure I'd remove you even if you were being disruptive, but at least I could begin to understand it. Turns out, no, she's added the most benign comment I've ever seen. And they're like, no, remove her from the building.
Well, the mistake that she made was thinking that talking about her health condition and what would likely happen to her if the Affordable Care Act was dismantled would lead to any sort of empathy from someone like Senator Heller. And so I'm not trying to be critical of her. It's just I've come to the realization that empathy just doesn't exist with certain people in this country, certainly with some of our lawmakers. And so, you know, even though she has stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma, she is already undergoing chemotherapy. She's very much concerned about her health and her future and the ability to pay for her healthcare. Doesn't matter to Heller, doesn't matter to some members of the GOP, most members of the GOP. And that's the most devastating part of all of this. These are people who vote on legislation that determines our fate, and they have no empathy for us. They don't care if we're sick. They don't care if we're poor. They will turn around and claim that they're pro-life and that they, you know, we should dismantle reproductive rights because we need to save zygotes. But when it comes to living, breathing human beings that are simply stating what their concerns are during a town hall, which is what a town hall is for, well, it doesn't matter. We need to escort them out. It makes me very uncomfortable to have to be confronted by something like this.
There's a couple of things here. One is, this is how fascism begins. Dissent is not allowed. It doesn't matter how polite you are, it doesn't matter what your condition is, dissent is not allowed. And Anna's right, why are we doing town halls if dissent is not allowed? What's the point? Just to for all of us to show up and to cheerlead for you?
Where are the free speech advocates? I'm sorry for interrupting you, right? But where's Ann Coulter, Ben Shapiro, all these people that are whining and crying constantly about college campuses? This is a free speech issue. She didn't get rowdy. She wasn't disruptive. This is a town hall. She gets escorted out immediately because she adds commentary to her question that I think is incredibly important for Senator Heller to hear. Where are the free speech advocates? I mean, we're talking about one of the biggest snowflakes in the country right now who can't handle anything that makes him feel a little uncomfortable. You know, look, I have said it time and time again, college campuses need to allow speakers regardless of political ideology. But you know, for some reason, there seems to be a double standard when it comes to that issue. When it comes to liberals, you know, violating free speech, well, conservatives are up in arms about it. But in this case, come on, this is a woman who's concerned about her health. She's stating what she's concerned about. She gets escorted out immediately as a result of that.
I just looked it up. That clip lasted less than 30 seconds. So that statement, it's not like she, hey guys, well, I mean, we got to move on, right? No, it was less than 30 seconds and she was done. She was going to sit back down.
Yeah.
Get her out of the building. And Senator Heller knew about her situation because he had the question from her already. And he didn't stop them. As she's being escorted out, he's smiling and talking to her. Why doesn't he say, he can easily say, hey, no. Let her be. It's a fair question and I'll answer it. And if you believe that you're providing better health care with your proposals, wouldn't you say, no, my God, please stay. Let me explain to you why you're going to be in so much better shape with our healthcare. Because, oh my God, Obama had death panels, but our healthcare is this and this and this. He doesn't have that answer.
Yeah.
Because there were no death panels. Instead, she got covered, and now she might not be covered anymore. And it's uncomfortable for him that in reality, he chose his donor's profits over her life. So please remove her from the building. It's ruining the good air for the elites. You know, the senator is an elite. You can't question the elites.
Yeah. And again, please spare me the bullshit regarding being pro-life when you again have an individual standing in front of you concerned about her life and you show a complete disregard for it. All right. Final story. It's super important. I want to make sure we talk about it. Today, Donald Trump decided to shrink two huge national monuments, and these monuments are in Utah, and his reasoning for doing so are questionable to say the least. He will shrink the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments by more than 1.1 million acres and more than 800,000 acres, respectively. His decision also removes about 85% of the designation of Bears Ears and nearly 46% of that for Grand Staircase Escalante. During his press conference in regard to this, he stated his reasoning. Let's take a look.
I will sign two presidential proclamations. These actions will modify the national monuments designations of both Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante. As many of you know, past administrations have severely abused the purpose, spirit, and intent of a century-old law known as the Antiquities Act. This law requires that only the smallest necessary area be set aside for special protection as national monuments. Unfortunately, previous administrations have ignored the standard and used the law to lock up hundreds of millions of acres of land and water under strict government control.
So later on, there was some talk about farmers wanting to allow their cattle to graze freely in these public lands. Also, there is the question of what will happen when it comes to energy discovery, as they're referring to it.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
let's keep it real. They will rape and pillage that land, and we know it. And just to keep in mind, this is the largest reduction of public land protection in U.S. history.
So a couple of things here. One is, this reminds me of what they said about the internet and net neutrality. He said at the end there, the government has got this land under strict government control. Wait, what does that mean? That only means that the government has actually made the land free and available to everyone, to the public, and not just privatized it so they could drill for oil, mm-hmm. keep the profits off of US land, and you get nothing for it. Strict government control. Same thing with net neutrality. They're like, oh, the government has control and regulations over the internet, allowing it to be free and exist without any encumbrance. Like, they never finished the sentence, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is, net neutrality keeps the internet as it is. It doesn't add regulations. The regulations are, as usual, to protect you from private corporations that would change the rules of the internet, or that would change your public lands in this case. And the schmucks over there in that audience in Utah are like, yeah, way to take away our public lands. What? Are you guys going to benefit from that at all? No. Okay, it's going to get handed off to Trump's friends, and they're going to privatize the profits. And if there's any losses at all, believe me, you'll bear the brunt of that. So, and by the way, Jason Chaffetz in Utah got run out of town for trying to privatize public lands before, mm-hmm. but they never stop. So they keep coming back and coming back, because there's money to be made off of your lands, US lands, and they're going to keep on doing that. So you applaud all you like, but later you'll realize, oh, why did we give that away?
I just wanted to make one somewhat irrelevant point. In watching that video, I love how he feels so proud of himself when he pronounces a word right. Mm-hmm. So when he said Escalante, he had like this smug smile right afterwards, like, good job, buddy. You pronounced something correctly.
All right, we gotta go. Escalante, bye-bye.